Good evening, all of you Nick Furies and Nick Fairies. Welcome to this week's episode of the Nerd Management Podcast. I, of course, am your co-host, Alec Ward. With me, as always,
Warner Swopes. This is the longest intro.
I like it, though. Like I really do. I really do. And, of course, in the studio, we have Justin Richard Smith.
Oh, Richard!
And Chris Bantha Fodder Bantha. And also on the talent couch this week, we've got old Tiffany Octagon Swopes.
Makes it sound like she's like Pain Train Swopes.
I know,
or a
Pain
bond.
Train
Swopes. Bond.
I was going to say Stop Sign Swopes, but it didn't sound as good. But and then in the red chair this week, we've got Justin Wheeler.
I like that. That's like the guest chair.
Yeah,
we've been trying to get Justin on for a while. Thanks for coming, Justin.
Yeah. No problem, man.
See, every week I'm improving just a little bit, you know?
I like that. You're the star. You're the star.
I just, dude, you know, I'm the real Ryan Seacrest of this train.
I know we're always in a hurry, but when I heard our theme song, I thought of something, and I'm just gonna throw this out there.
Okay.
Like, what if our theme song had lyrics? And if you could pick, like, two people to sing a duet together of our theme song, who would it be? Just pick two people real quick.
In this studio or
no, 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 ever. In, like, fame.
I already have mine. I'm going to go, since I said Ryan Seacrest already, so I'm going to go with the American Idol train. I'm going to say Ruben Studdard and, well, no, I don't want Clay Aiken because that's too easy. I'll say Ruben Studdard and Danny McBride, just because he's right over there.
Oh, hey, he'd be good. Here's mine. You can't beat this duet. Justin Timberlake and Michael Bolton. How beautiful would that be? That'd be the most beautiful Nerd Management theme song ever. Like, I want to write lyrics for it just with the hopes of someday Michael Bolton graces us with his
beautiful
voice.
What would your lyrics be?
I don't even know.
Nerd! Management!
I don't even know, but it would be awesome. Sorry to derail, but that's like suddenly just came to me. I was like, oh, I gotta.
Tell
awesome.
Me how!
Yeah. It'd be so awesome. But anyway.
Alright, Dumbledore.
Comic books of the week, Alec. Sorry.
Sorry.
We're gonna talk about comic books,
Did anybody get my Dunkelman reference? At all?
I did not.
I said I was the Ryan Seacrest, and you're the Dunkelman. Dunkelman and Seacrest, they were the first shows you were host.
And then he left.
Of American Idol.
Yeah. Well, I'm not leaving after season one.
Good.
I'll stick around for at least season two or three.
Comic books!
Alright, comic books.
So, even though we didn't have an episode last week, we'll just start off fresh this week.
Or did we?
Well,
watch the Halloween episode.
You know, yeah.
Today's actually physically
today
Halloween.
Today is Halloween, but
Happy Halloween!
Yeah, if you want your Halloween fix,
no one knocked on my door.
Well, because the trick-or-treating's canceled because of the faux tornado that they're talking about.
Oh,
it's not actually
the power
here.
Went out?
Yeah.
Old faux tornado.
Old Billy Paxton's twister up there.
No,
are you thinking it's faux?
This bogus tornado they're talking about.
Bring it on, nature.
Anyway. Anywho. Comics.
So, my book of the week was Guardians of the Galaxy 8 by Bendis, and this month, Francesco Francavilla, which was... it was so great. The whole issue itself was awesome, but the art itself just completely sold it for me, which means that I think Francesco Francavilla should just write or draw everything.
Well, his art is so stylized, but it fits every style. But every time he does something, it's different. Like, his horror stuff looks one way, and then his cosmic stuff looks another way, and then his, like, noir detective stuff looks different, too. But he can do all of those styles really awesome.
Yeah.
And I really like the way he can transition. Even though
it's
stuff so stylized,
yeah.
He can transition the way he does his styles.
Absolutely. Well, and funny story, I went on to Reddit, which I do, on the comics subreddit.
You read?
No.
He reads.
And somebody posted a post that said that his art was lazy. And I have never wanted to punch someone in the face so much.
You don't even know him. You suddenly just turned into the biggest internet troll.
Yeah.
You're like,
it was one of those where I was like, I was trying to be smart. I was like, listen, I understand what you're saying. I respect your opinion.
But suck a
butt. But you're the dumbest person I've ever met in my entire life. But now I thought it was awesome. And I think he's actually doing the next issue as well. At least he's definitely doing the cover. From what they've seen.
That's the only thing I don't like about Francavilla is he does, like, one or two issues here and there. He doesn't really, like, do an arc or anything.
And I generally like the original, or, you know, the artist that he has on there. I don't even know what the person's name is. I don't think it's Amonin, but it's...
I think it's Pacelli. Yeah, the original the original artist on
Cervicelli. Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. But as much as I like that art, Frank and Villa's art just did it. Just went over the top for me. I loved it. But so, what was your book of the week?
Well, let's let Justin. Oh yeah, Justin. What was your book this week?
I'd have to say probably my book's going to be The Battle of the Atom, The Finish.
Yeah.
It ended really, actually awesomely, which we kind of talked about before, but I felt like it was going to be an awkward ending. Right. Just because some of the parts in it just seemed like it was just going to stop and you weren't going to know what's going to happen, which there's still a little confusion there. But the ending was perfect.
You guys will have to tell me, because I don't read Battle of the Atom, I don't read any of the X-Men, except I will be reading Amazing X-Men, because Jason Aaron's rad, but... so tell me, without giving away too much spoilers, because I will eventually read it when they have it collected, so, like, tell me what it was about a little bit.
The whole series is basically about the current X-Men, or basically getting the X-Men from the past to come to the current time.
Sure.
To try and stop Cyclops from...
Right.
If you see your younger self and how innocent you were, maybe you'll stop being such a douche all the time.
Well, like, I read... That's kind of the idea. I read up until, like... Yeah.
It didn't work for Ashton Kutcher.
No.
I did read All New X-Men and Uncanny X-Men for quite a bit. I stopped right before Battle of Atom because I wasn't interested in it whatsoever. And from what I've heard, it's been really good the entire time.
And it ended well. Bendis normally has a bad record of like writing these huge stories that get really big and awesome, but then just drop off at the end like he doesn't know what he wanted to do.
Sure.
But this was not like that. It had a solid ending.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much, but the teams have changed as far as who's on the team's rosters.
Yeah.
And really, the focus of the book, I think, has changed now going forward. Like we were talking about before, my main X-Men book that I read is All New X-Men, and now I don't know if that's the one I want to keep reading. Like, I just don't know which team interests me the most, so it's kind of interesting.
That's the problem with X-Men.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's way too much going on.
Well, and if only there were more X-Men books that you could actually choose to read, you know?
Not like eight.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I like X-Men a lot, and a lot of my fandom for X-Men comes from the 90s cartoon show. I think that's where I got my start with X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
But, but...
That hits a
oh, right?
The books have just this horrible continuity that so really drags everything down. And there's so many books, and they often tie together.
Yeah.
So even if you're like, oh, well, I'm going to pick this one X-Men book to read... Then eventually, that book will not make any sense because it's tied to all these other books. And so that's my problem with X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so far, All New, for the most part, other than Battle of the Atom, has been like its own thing.
Well, even that, you wouldn't have to read like just X-Men or Uncanny to really follow along with Battle of the Atom.
Yeah.
I basically picked up a Battle of the Atom. I read some of the All New X-Men after I started Battle of the Atom because of that. But you can pick it up and you pretty much know what's going on. If you have a basic understanding of X-Men, I think.
And a little more than basic understanding of time travel, because there was so much time travel. Seriously, here's the plot of Battle of the Atom, is the X-Men... Beast is like, bring us the young X-Men from the past. He does that. And then these X-Men from the future come, and they're like, we need to send those past X-Men back. And the present X-Men are like, why? What's wrong with them being here? And they're going to mess up your future and become us.
It's
and
about
like,
your kid.
What? Well, then we find out that those future X-Men that came back are not actually the future X-Men. They're the future Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and the future X-Men do come and join them. So there's like decades and decades of X-Men all fighting each other, and it was very confusing. There were like four Iceman.
Gandalf the Iceman.
So, since you were talking about the X-Men cartoon, did you guys cry when Morph died in the first episode?
Well,
Morph! Even though Morph's not in any... No, I'm the only one there.
It's fine.
He made up, like, let's hit Bendy.
Yeah, they're like, let's make a character to kill. And then he wasn't dead in the end.
Spoilers, I was going to say, didn't he come back? Anyway.
I agree with Justin, that was a great book. That wasn't my book of the week, though, because the Swamp Thing Annual came out.
No, and...
Vouch for me here. Yeah. It's not because I'm just a Swamp Thing fan. That was just a great comic book. Did you read it?
Not yet.
Oh, you need to read it.
Okay, no. Okay, so I know that we razz each other on your Swamp Thing. It genuinely, and I texted you, I was like, if Swamp Thing Annual is not your book of the week, it is my book of the week.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best issue I've read of Swamp Thing to date. And that doesn't say much, I know, but...
It was the best since the like Alan Moore stuff or the Rick Beach stuff when that was happening. It's the best since all of that, and it was really cool to see. Like, you can tell when someone is a writer of like a fan of the comics they're writing, because Charles Soule is clearly a Swamp Thing fan because of all of the continuity of past stuff. Because the big thing in the annual, and I don't want to spoil anything, but he basically goes and meets with past Swamp Things. And you get to see, like, a Brontosaurus Swamp Thing.
Which was my favorite.
There's, like, a Swamp Thing that was just a mountain with a face. And, like, it was just awesome.
And a samurai. And a samurai.
Yeah.
Swamp
and
thing.
And then there was the wolf, or as Charles Soule calls him on Twitter, the burger thing, because he's, like, a burger meister. But
was
he's
he
Swamp
supposed
thing.
To be somebody, like...
We're all supposed to be somebody.
Well, no, I thought he was supposed to be kind of like a nod to somebody.
You better wake up and pay attention.
That's right.
But there were...
Distractive.
But there were a lot of... Anyway, there were a lot of really, really cool, like, past Swamp Things. And one of the coolest past Swamp Things from Swamp Thing continuity showed up. And it was a big reference to, like, the Alan Moore stuff and when Swamp Thing went off-world and kind of tried to create his own planet and stuff. Right before he got molested by a sentient satellite.
which you're just going to graze past that.
But anyway, it was really cool to see, like...
Monday.
It's really cool to see the current Alec Holland Swamp Thing meeting all these other Swamp Things. And the book was just, like, Swamp Thing aside, it was just a great book to read.
Well, one of my favorite things about it was, unlike most annuals, it took place directly after the last issue. And usually annuals or, you know, zero issues or... spinoffs have nothing in common with the current continuity.
It's like a one-off.
Right,
this
was absolutely
this. This was directly
the
tied
to everything. The timeline is an afterthought. They're like, wait.
Yeah.
So, where do we put this?
Well, it was almost like Charles Soule was like, well, I'll just make a bigger or a longer issue of Swamp Thing then. That's fine. But
everyone here kind of rats on me for talking about Swamp Thing all the time on the podcast, but you can vouch for me that you read Swamp Thing because you heard me talk about it so much on the podcast, right?
Absolutely. I heard you talk about it, and then I picked up the first couple issues, and I was just like, dang it.
Yeah.
I'm freaking hooked now.
Yeah. One of my best friends...
jokes aren't funny.
One of my best friends, same thing. I mean, he was like, I started listening, and you guys talked about it so much that I decided to pick it up, and he was like, and it's one of the best books that's out there right now.
Come on!
So, I know that we make fun of you, but it's all validated.
But I'm right.
It's all validated, exactly.
Yeah. We'll make fun of you.
I haven't read it.
Okay.
I haven't read it.
You can borrow it. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to the news. Oh, wait, no.
The Mets.
I'll
make it quick because it wasn't worth talking, but Aquaman Annual number 1, kind of exactly what I love Jeff Johns' Aquaman. I really do.
But Jeff Johns didn't write the issue.
He didn't write it. And it was one of the things that I just talked about. It didn't take place in any continuity. It was
like
just
the PlayStation Aquaman.
Exactly.
Hey, I like that PlayStation Aquaman on Injustice. Thank you.
No, the PlayStation game.
Oh.
It's terrible.
Someone playing PlayStation.
Anyway, so moment of glory.
Wait,
do you want to? Oh, I didn't have one. Everything was pretty solid for the most part. Everything was pretty solid. I think we need to turn the mic up or something. It's
the
like,
mic's all up.
It seems to be a problem.
Directional speaking is the problem.
I just like to make eye contact with all my friends. Maybe everyone should be over there.
That's so weird.
Like, everyone should be over there, and then I'll just...
That's so weird that we don't want to look at a microphone when we're talking to everyone.
So anyway, moment of glory. Well, moment of glory this week.
A moment of glory!
Was the return of Bebop and Rocksteady to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, finally.
Yeah, but yeah, you talked about it like that.
Again?
Well, they teased that these guys were being turned into those characters in the end of like 2 or 3 issues ago.
You showed it to me.
And I was like, yeah! Bebop and Rocksteady are coming. And then for like an issue or
two...
Can you
do your excited Warner?
Yeah! Yeah! I'm excited, little boy!
For an issue or two, there was no...
Yeah. Or Maurice LaMarche.
There was absolutely no Bebop and Rocksteady. And it's like, what? They were just
right,
in this.
How dare you?
Finally, the end of this week's issue, they show up and they kick open a door and they've got guns and knives. And then you're like, okay, so some people up in Rocksteady are about to just tear everything up. Just
if we had a video podcast. And unfortunately, I don't read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I should. I know I should. But I just want to touch on last week, even though we didn't have a moment of glory last week. Justice League 24 came out, and it had one of the coolest moments. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, it was a really cool moment for setting up like the whole Forever Evil thing.
That person's dead.
Basically, Ultraman, the evil Superman from Earth 3, is completely uncontended because he's super powerful and Superman's gone or dead or nobody knows.
Nobody really knows, yeah. He's in the old mind prison.
He's in the mind prison. What happens?
So
he's
like,
trapped in his emotions.
Yeah.
I'm trapped in
just had a really bad breakup. I'm trapped in my mind prison. I'm going to go in my room.
And the whole Justice League's trapped in my
prison. Sounds like emo music putting on eyeshadow.
Mind prison sounds like an Iron Maiden album. Just like
That sounds cooler.
Yeah.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Who shows up to kick Ultraman?
Yeah, so he's literally about to kill Jimmy Olsen for something that the Earth 3 Jimmy Olsen did. And he's about to kill him, and then Black Adam comes in just is like, yeah, now kiss. And they just, like, they fight. And it's incredible.
And I love it because Black Adam is one of those villains who is completely justified in his villainy. Like,
yeah.
He does everything the wrong way, but it's all because he hates, like, tyranny and... like people who think they rule over other people, like he just hates that.
Yes.
So
he's an activist that
he will
that
go and kill
step.
Dictators of countries. And so Ultraman's saying, "We rule the world now." And Black Adam saw that and he's like, "Oh no, you don't." And he's like, "I'm going to
better
show you.
Not."
It's really disenfranchised high schoolers who are like, "Yep, whatever. I hate everything.
Stick it to the man.
I flip everything off the box." Would really identify with that character.
Yeah.
Shoot off fireworks in school.
Don't tell me what to do.
But
I'm gonna doubt.
So he basically comes in and kicks his butt, or it looks like he's going.
It was such a cool moment for me.
But that book is awesome anyway. Like I love the whole Forever Evil tie-in stuff.
It's doing really
because
good.
They also mentioned. Are you reading Forever Evil?
No. I picked up the first one. I haven't even looked at it.
You need to. So they've hinted this character that the Earth 3 people have pulled. Oh. Taken with them, called the prisoner.
They're doing such a good job.
And he has a hood
job.
On his face. I have a couple of speculations here.
Go ahead.
I'm not putting my name on the first one because this is really far fetched.
Well, then you can't
say
it.
Oh, wait. But they've really.
We're gonna start calling this No Stones Hour.
I know I'm being a real big no man.
You don't have a choice. You can do one or the other.
Well, there's three. There are three.
You can put your name on it, or it's up to you.
Okay. Well, the first one. I want it to be Wally West.
Okay.
Yeah. The second generation Flash.
Right.
Only because he's not in the new 52 continuity
at all.
The way to bring him in would be from another universe.
Great.
And so it'd be like, here's this guy they brought over from Earth 3, and probably that would be the best way to introduce him and just be like, here he is, and he can be the same age as Barry Allen, and it's not weird because there's not the whole time gap business.
Yeah.
Sure. So that would be cool. And then that's kind of my hopeful thought. The more likely one, though...
Which is...
And this is the one I would put my name on.
Put your name on!
Because Earth 3's Atomica pretended to be the Atom in Justice League. I think it's Ray Palmer, the Atom.
No.
Because that makes sense as to, like, how did they get their Atom into our universe and trick people if they didn't have the original Atom?
Sure. I love what Albert Einstein wrote the formula.
So I really feel like I'm gonna put my name on this.
No.
Ray Palmer, I think, is the prisoner.
No, I think that's good. I actually completely support the Ray Palmer. I think I don't think Wally West is such a far fetched idea because we have Barry Allen, we have Jay Garrick in Earth 2. I don't see why
Wally West couldn't be the Earth 3
or Bart. What's his face? I don't know.
I think he's the Kid Flash right now.
Oh, okay, so then Wally West is the only one that we don't have.
Who's
so.
The future Flash? The little kid?
Bart Allen. It's Barry Allen's grandson from the future.
Okay.
But The other place we could get Wally West is, don't forget, in December, Justice League 3000 comes out.
Yeah.
And there's a red-headed Flash.
You're absolutely
in that,
right.
And I could see them just doing, like, a time travel.
Finally!
So I could see them doing, like, a time travel thing where Wally West is the future Flash, like, way future, Justice League 3000 future, and then he gets stuck in our time, and then that's how they bring
Isn't
it
Isn't that the Blue Beetle territory as well?
Yes. Which, suddenly, you just came to... No, changing my mind, not Ray Palmer. You just gave me the answer as to who the prisoner is.
Who?
Did you read Justice League International?
No.
It was a series that started with the New 52 and then got canceled. But it was not because of ratings. They were just like, we have a new story plot we want to go with. Mm. And Booster Gold was the leader of that.
Maybe.
Booster Gold was the leader
they've
of that
been,
team. Then he disappeared.
And they've been teasing,
and they haven't said where he's
they,
where
they
he went.
They keep teasing, like, oh, Booster Gold will be here eventually.
Okay, new put my name on it. Booster Gold is the prisoner.
That's so weak.
Should I have, like, said that and just,
like
three
of
them? My
headphones?
Yeah. Yeah. You should have just knocked up the microphone.
And then
I'm okay
with
that.
You guys email me the file later so I can edit it?
No, that actually does make sense. I think that's probably more accurate than the app.
But do you think Geoff Johns will do that?
Geoff Johns loves Booster Gold. Yeah.
He's all
blah, blah, blah. You just see how big your eyes are.
It's
absolutely. No.
That was the best part of all of that.
That's what my face was when I saw the Humberto Ramos variant of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Let's move on to the news.
Anyway,
news. Are you going to have a moment of glory?
We already talked about the moment of glory.
Oh,
moved
that
on
was it?
Listen to your old plastic straw.
I thought we were just on a tangent.
Tiffany Bindi straw slopes.
Crazy straw slopes is more like it. I like it.
Oh my god.
Old rock box.
Anyway. Gosh, Gordon last week. That was exciting. Okay, so in the news, number one, Marcia Wallace, voice of Edna Krabappel from The Simpsons, passed away this week. Number two, DC Comics moves from New York City to Burbank, California. And number three, Charles Soule's Letter 44 is being, does that say option?
Option
for TV after only one issue.
So, which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's go right in order.
Okay.
Marcia Wallace, who Tiffany said it is.
Said it very
Marcia
cheerfully.
Wallace? Voice of Edna Krabappel? I didn't write question marks on the notes, but she placed them, and that's fine. I'm totally fine with that.
I was so worried about saying Krabappel right.
But anyway.
So I'm clearly the only Simpsons fan.
No, I'm a Simpsons fan.
Not everyone likes
it. It's always playing, but I'm playing dinner.
I'm pretty bummed about that. It goes along with kind of tonight's topic.
Exactly,
Because today is the last day of October, so we wanted to kind of make an episode that is more focused toward like Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is October.
Yeah.
So tonight, going forward, it's going to be all about the ladies.
Woo!
And the tatas. It's not about you or me. It's not about you or you. It's about you or us. So, you don't even want to know how long it took me to write that one.
I just see
in the mirror.
I just see you and Tiffany sleeping in bed, and you're just like, oh, God.
This is a great joke. I got to write it down.
He just, thrashes a ghost for a notebook.
It just came to me in a dream. That's comedy gold right there. You guys can have it. It's sad because she died from complications that probably arose from.
It said complications with pneumonia, but they have a feeling it was leftover cancerous cells that kind of happened. That was very inappropriate.
That really was.
That was very
inappropriate.
Krabappel, she actually won two Emmys for playing Krabappel on The Simpsons. Krabappel is one of my favorite characters. What I will say is they're doing a really respectful thing, and they're just retiring the character.
Which is not what we're doing at all.
We're just playing the character's lap over and over.
They are retiring the character of Krabappel, which I think is great. But I think we should just leave it at that. You know, rest in peace, Marcia Wallace. You will be missed. But
truly, honestly.
Yeah, I know we're joking about it, but
I agree.
Jesting.
She's probably like the best voice actor in that like school scenario. I like the guy that plays Willie pretty well.
Dan Castellaneta does most of the voices.
But she's really like one of my favorite characters in
absolutely.
In the school stuff.
Absolutely.
One thing I don't like that The Simpsons does is it just uses all of their characters. Instead of creating new characters for stories, they're just like, and this happened to the same five people that are in.
Well, so
here's
the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could have an entire episode on The Simpsons if we ever wanted to. The first eight seasons are the core. If you want to introduce someone, if they don't know who The Simpsons are, they're a fetus. But the first eight seasons are the best. That's where you have Conan O'Brien writing for it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Conan O'Brien era is my favorite.
Right, exactly. After that, it gets kind of meh. So, I mean, the first eight seasons are where the best things are, but...
fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, so, new story two. DC is moving from New York to Burbank, California.
Right.
Which you kind of brought up a good point.
Isn't that where the Truman Show is?
The reason they're moving...
Great movie.
The reason it's they're moving underrated. To Burbank, California is because that's where Warner Brothers is located... And it makes the most sense to have their crew of DC Comics people there to help out with all the DC movies and TV and stuff that Warner Bros.
In other words,
however,
DC does not believe in the cloud.
However, it does kind of screw a bunch of people out of jobs. So it's...
We actually got on... Like, Alec and I got on Twitter and kind of asked some of the writers their opinions, too. And a couple of people responded back. And basically, it doesn't affect the writers, really, because you can write from anywhere, you can draw from anywhere, and just submit your work. But what it does affect is the editors and office people that they've worked so closely with now have to make a decision. Are they going
to
stay in New York but lose their job, or are they going to move with the company to the other side of the world, basically? That's a tough decision.
Yeah.
Any of us who have...
A whole family... For that.
Yeah, just to kind of up and, leave. Yeah. It's kind of...
Especially, this coast and that coast.
Well, and if you think about it, there's some... Like, the editors probably make pretty decent money, but there are people that just work in that office as, regular 9-to-5 office worker type people who probably love that they work for DC Comics, but it's not a job that, pays enough that it... It warrants uprooting your whole family.
Yeah, we'll see you there, guys.
That's do you move to California, have to, up their fashion game by, 5 years?
Oh, totally.
Well, New York keeps up pretty well, I think. It's not like moving from Indiana to California, and then you're like, I'm wearing clothes from 10 years ago. No, it's like...
Don't you dare hate on this fine, beautiful state.
I love Indiana. We're just behind on fashion, I think.
Lies!
That's why I always wear cut-off... corduroy shorts.
It's
and
a classic
t-shirt.
Look. Hanes tagless t-shirts.
Or
every day of my
classic
life.
Is Indiana way ahead of the time?
It is cyclical, so you're probably right.
Yeah.
We could just be
advanced.
30.
Well, those,
we were retro before it was retro.
Which means you were just wearing the clothes when they were in the first time.
Right.
Yes.
By the way, for those of us who are in Indy, the power is out in Indy.
Here
comes that faux tornado you're talking
about. I wasn't saying that the tornado was fake. I was saying that I didn't feel like the tornado was a threat to...
I'm envisioning...
To our studio.
He didn't feel like it. He did laugh in the face of God.
Yeah, did you know that Storm was on our podcast?
Did you ever see the Hercules Disney movie?
The what?
Hercules Disney movie.
Yes.
Remember the Titan at the end where the tornado... That's what I'm envisioning
Titans.
As what's going through Indy right now. I'm just like...
Right.
Anyway. So I'm not a weatherman. Sue me.
All right, third one.
Marry me. But yeah, Letter 44, Charles Soule. After one issue... Letter 44 is being optioned off for its
movie. For all you soulmates out there, this is really good news.
Which, and I thought it was funny because
Did you tweet that? I'm trying to talk and everyone's just going blah. Did you tweet that to him?
No, I did not.
One
because
of us should.
I literally read it right before we started recording, so it kind of. I'll read what. The web or the story
Seriously,
from
if
what
the
it says.
Start exploding. Can we just go raid the liquor store?
If the power goes out, that shouldn't affect us too much because we are running on batteries mostly.
Exactly.
We just keep on going.
We just keep trucking. We got to bring you this important nerd business.
So this is what it says about the show. Well, it seems it's not just popular with comic book readers like me. At least one U.S. TV network is currently negotiating to make a Letter 44 series with a major showrunner and director attached. Looks like Charles Soule is about to get even busier than he already is.
I doubt he'll have much to do with the show other than just creative
credit. I imagine
he's
probably got creative control. I mean, it's his story, correct?
That's true.
Yeah. So, probably as much as, like, Robert Kirkman does on The Walking Dead. I mean, he owns it.
Which brings me to my first point. Who's a... Like, can you name any other famous showrunner than Frank Darabont? That's, like, the only person I can think of.
Robert Kirkman is the...
And then they fire him after the first season?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, when they say a famous showrunner... Well, like, Damon Lindelof, maybe.
He would be Lost. I mean, if you want to... Joss Whedon. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but I don't think he'd go the other spectrum and work... Well, I don't know. That's not a... That, who does
the
that
Whedon
book?
Whedonverse.
Oni Press.
Whedonverse. Oh, Oni Press. So it's not really a competitor.
No, no.
Yeah, but, so that's cool.
No,
I don't know.
It's really cool.
I'm excited about that.
To, Mr. Soule. It's awesome.
Last week, I talked a lot about that issue and how great it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Which is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up, because we kind of talked about it last time. So.
All right. So that's the news. For, like I said, for our Getting to Know You, we're going to talk about a lady, one of my favorite ladies in comics.
Yeah, we have talked about her. Said in comics.
Yeah, she's super awesome to meet at any con. And
we've also talked about her husband on one episode before, so.
No, we didn't. I think you're confused about what might be happening, will be about.
Yes,
so shut up. Never mind.
We have not talked about her husband.
Scratch that.
Also one of my favorite people on Twitter, like her bullying of other comic book writers just cracks me up.
Yeah.
A lot of times and people she's friends with, so she's not like actually trolling them, but like she likes to bully Dan Slott a lot, and it's just the funniest stuff.
She's a faux troll.
Because you know that Dan Slott is so completely open to it. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
Today
like,
she started trolling Charles Soule, and someone tweeted her and said, you know Charles Soule's made it big when Gail Simone starts trolling him. and she retweeted that. But one of the things she said was, cough, cough, I think some comic book writer's about to die. Better be ready, Charles Soule, because you're going to end up writing their book. Because he just writes everything. But, like, she just
he's the Bendis of, like, now. Like,
yeah, he just jumps on any book that needs a writer. So so she like she does these clever things like that. And then she also likes to do a lot of trending like hashtags. Like, I can't think. One of them was Bane date advice. And I was losing it. It was so fun. But anyway, we're going to talk about Gail Simone. She's super awesome.
Yeah.
We'll give you three, like we always do with Getting to Know You, we'll give you three little tidbits that have very little to do with her actual career now.
Tidbits.
And
Tidbits.
Hey, be careful.
It's booby day.
Tatas.
It's
Alright.
So anyway, let's talk about Gail Simone a little bit. Are you going to?
No.
You sound like you're about to talk and you're
I was
going to
say, lay off the TTs.
Okay.
Be nice.
So, her...
Squeeze on them tatas.
Early on, she was very successful as a hairdresser, which you can totally tell because she always has, like, really stylish hair for, like, just a comic book writer. You know what I mean? Like, normally...
Like Viva Del Sur.
Comic book writers look just pretty normal in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Gail Simone, you can tell you when you go into a Comic Con, you're like, oh, there's Gail Simone, because she's got like
PR person,
really cool bright red hair that's just like always done up really cool, and she's just like loud and funny, and
she reminds me of a really hip grandma,
right?
But she's not that old; she's really young actually. But she's
just like an activity commercial
type
of hip.
Yeah, but she's like really fun and nice, just all around. But her first comic book work. Kind of ties everything together, was actually for the Simpsons comics.
Oh, really? Oh. For the Bongo comics?
Yeah, for Bongo. Yeah. And then she first started gaining her, like, media popularity, and this makes sense as why she's so clever on Twitter, with a website she created called Women in Refrigerators. And here's why. That's a tornado warning. That's the official tornado warning going off in Wyland.
Yeah.
But here's why that's...
But the
it's not my fault.
Go on.
Here's why it's a very popular website. It was all about the mistreatment of women in comics, which still happens
absolutely
pretty frequently.
Absolutely.
But the case she was trying to make and why this was the website was called Women in Refrigerators is because in the 90s, Kyle Rayner, the Green Lantern at the time, his girlfriend was killed by this villain named Major Disaster, and he... Kyle Rayner found her chopped up in a refrigerator. And it was like, that's really distasteful for comic books.
Yeah, a little bit.
And also, it totally does the whole...
Just a smidge.
The whole damsel in distress thing to a main character. Like, why can't a main female character be a prominent character and not just a plot device?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like what the website was about, and it became really popular, and people were like, oh, this lady really knows what she's talking about, because she... like, had a lot of back knowledge on comics and things like that. So then she obviously started working for Bongo, writing Simpsons and stuff, and kind of worked her way into the comic book industry, and now is probably the biggest name in, like, female comics. Like, as far as, like, female writers of comics,
yeah.
She writes a lot of high profile. She writes Batgirl right now, which is one of the best books at DC. She writes...
I wanted to read one of her tweets, because... You were just talking about
tweets are hilarious.
The one that I thought was actually really funny, it was, this may be the whiskey talking, but it's weird when beverages talk. All right, Gail, you'll get a retweet.
Yeah. But definitely, she writes a lot of high-profile stuff. She just relaunched Red Sonja for Devil's
cool.
Due.
Yeah. Well, and what I like most about her writing is it's very smart, and like you said, it's not, even though she writes Batgirl, it could be very easy for her to be just another plot device, like it could, and it's not. It's very smart.
It's a really
very progressive. It's, yeah, exactly. She's just a very talented writer all around. So.
Yeah. So, good job to Gail Simone for being our spotlight of the week. Maybe we'll...
Was that all three of the
things?
Maybe we'll
tweet her about that.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I think we shall.
All right, so to wrap things up here for the night, we're going to talk about our big topic.
Topic of the week.
And our topic this week is basically just to talk about our favorite female characters in media, in comics, TV, movies, video games, if you're a Lara Croft fan.
Or a Peach fan.
Well,
or a Peach fan, like this Dirty Daisy right across from me.
Be honest, in video games...
How you living?
Females aren't really... They aren't really portrayed the best way.
No.
No. I mean...
That was good.
I mean, even Peach, like, she's just...
an angel in distress.
Yeah, exactly. She's
giving
just,
you power-ups all the time.
Yeah. She's an idiot, to be honest, portrayed in the games.
Like, why does she always go anywhere near Bowser?
Don't open the door! There's an alligator out there!
You think
not Dirty Daisy, though.
You think Toadstool's trying to tap that?
Daisy's smart.
She's
street smart.
Daisy's thugging.
But not really, though.
Luna, how does she fit in the
But not really, though. Toad. Do you think he's just following her around because he wants a piece of that?
No, I think Toad is
like... Toad's a eunuch.
Toad's been...
I would believe that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think Toad was put in the friend zone
a long time ago.
When he was born.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been sobbing
the
whole time.
You just put in the friend zone.
Really,
walking mushroom. Mario Brothers movie.
But really, like, technically,
I'm a princess, but my choices are walking mushroom and dinosaur. I guess I'll go with this plumber. Like,
but really, the plumber or Mario and her never have any sort of affection towards each other. I mean, they could be friend zone, or he could be.
Yeah,
friend
he's
zone.
Just.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
he's
I'm
just,
here to fix the toilet.
Yeah, he's just doing it out of the goodness of his. Little plumber.
Small
heart.
Tangent, and I know there's no way she's listening. I had someone who.
Peach.
Pretty much, like, I would have been Peach, and she would have been Mario.
Okay.
So, like...
Are you saying she would have...
Like, you were getting captured by giant dragons, and she was rescuing you every day?
No. I said I was Peach, remember?
Peach has always been rescued, yeah.
I guess it would have been the other way around. Like, every day, like, there's a small period. I went on one date with this person, and I thought to myself, all right, whatever. Apparently, and I'm not trying to be a hater, but it was her first time ever going on a date with somebody, and I was in college, and which is totally fine, but she was just really awkward. She was, like, overly complimentary. We went and played putt-putt, good neutral activity, and the whole time she's like, you're so good at putt-putt. I'm just going to watch you play. And I'm just like, oh, Because, like, I want someone, you know, who just wants to compete and go, I want someone who wants to win. She didn't at all. And then, like, we go out to eat, and the whole time she's just, like, gushing about how fantastic I am. I'm just like, ugh.
So the well, part, to be fair, that's how I was when we first met, too.
2 years
yeah,
later.
Yeah, but you weren't trying to, like, kiss me.
2 years later, he married that woman. And,
yeah. But the Mario part comes in where... So I have a fair amount of knowledge about cars because of my dad, and her car was overheating one day, and I fixed it. And then she started creating,
got hit by a blue bus.
She started creating blue excuses about, like, oh, yeah, hey, I think my car is, like, messed up. Like, go look at it. And I go over there, there ain't nothing wrong, and I'm like, all right, it's fine. Okay, thanks
girl,
for coming.
Girl, stop driving all those banana
when,
peels.
When are we going to hang out?
She and, really, like, got hit by that lightning bolt. Man.
This is when, like, yeah. AIM was still used. Like, and, like, I had AOL instant messaged her in, like, a month. And she's just, like, gives me a call blue. So where are we at? I'm like, I didn't know we existed. And then there was, like, this big panel she went to talking about relationships. And she was, like, really broken up about it. And some of my really mean friends texted me and said it was fine. I thought it was funny.
What was your AIM screen name back then?
CS Banta.
Yeah,
I think Sonic the Hedgehog was my logo.
There you go. That's pretty. Solid. Mine was, I went in for a big Foo Fighters fan, so mine was Foo Fan 07.
Foo Fan.
So, which, me, like, being a fat guy, that didn't really.
Sorry for the tangent.
Going back to our topic.
Yeah.
If. I'll go ahead and start this off since I am the only female in the room besides the dog.
I believe you should.
And
Katrina might chime in.
My favorite female character in comics would have to be Barbara Gordon. I think she's really rad.
Yeah.
She's been through crap and back, like,
right.
Legitimately. For TV, it would have to be, it's a tie between Daenerys Targaryen. Game of Thrones. So she's pretty awesome.
Yep, pretty great.
And Sookie Stackhouse from True Blood, because
I completely disagree with that.
I'm so hoping you would do that. I love your Bill
impression. The reason, you see how completely different those two people are? Like, I love the damsel
absolutely.
In distress, and I love the
Sookie is
crazy
definitely
thing.
The damsel
but
in distress.
Sookie's
too.
Not only the,
like,
damsel
way
in distress,
overdone.
But she's kind of the whore in distress. She,
I know.
She sleeps with Justin Brown every
story
day.
Of my life.
That doesn't mean
yeah.
I can't like
and you know
no,
what? You know,
everybody with fangs is taming that strange.
And not, just that, not just that, and the werewolf. And the
okay.
And Samwise, the changeling person,
and the secret tiger man
is really just banging. It's okay. No, I'm not making fun.
I like that character though.
I think Sophie's awesome, even though she is really slutty and she's always the damsel in distress. But sometimes it would be awesome to be the damsel in distress versus always having to be like macho and have to take.
3 second question, all the guys in here. If you were a woman. Like, I think about this all the time. Like, man, if I was a girl, I'd be such a slut. Like,
yes.
I'm glad I'm not a woman because I feel like I'd be ultra slutty.
No, that's true. I would be.
Anybody else?
Absolutely.
The other thing I always think is, like, man,
I'd
be the best WNBA player right now.
Okay.
Sorry. That's the,
as honest as I can say, if honest. I was a female, I would disgrace my father.
But would you still have the inner thinkings of a man?
Yep.
Or would you? Okay. That's all.
So you like? So you leave afterwards too? You're like, all right. See
yeah,
you
yeah. And scratch your crotch.
Like, high five.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping before he is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I feel like this
all, right.
all the time. But can we cut up? Don't ruin the moment.
I don't think we're doing.
Justin,
well,
who's your favorite female character?
Which Justin? You got a no. Eye contact doesn't
guest.
Work. It's a podcast.
Red,
red
chair guest Justin.
Oh, wheels on the bus Justin. Get it.
I like that a lot.
See,
I'm taking it.
You're like the nickname king.
Nickname machine.
No,
bro.
I think it's always been Rogue. Like
yeah,
ever since the cartoon.
Awesome.
I'm still not totally excited. But Rogue is. I'm glad you said Rogue because now I don't have to. But Rogue is. Rogue is
yeah.
up there.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Yes.
See, that's what I was playing with.
Oh, Rogue.
Do you like the Southern Belle? Like, oh, sugar from
yes.
from
yeah,
the
yeah.
X-Men cartoon.
Yes.
She was pretty hot. I won't
absolutely, 100%.
Okay,
that's awesome.
I just love Rogue for the fact that it's she has literally all the power she could ever have. But it really comes at a huge
yeah.
price.
Yeah.
And that also works for all three mediums as well, because movies, TV, and comics.
Yeah, that's one character they never messed up. They're like, yeah, no. Also, wrote them originally.
Also, Sookie Stackhouse, just throwing that out there.
Sookie.
I keep
thinking you're saying Sookie
because
I get like.
No, I do too. I'll give you one smush.
Say right, right, right. Say right, right,
right. I'll do my favorite. For comics. Also, even though she's psychotic, she's very strong. Talia al Ghul.
Okay.
I think she's, like I said, even though she's psychotic, she knows exactly what she wants. She's a very strong woman.
Kind of like a Black Adam type character.
Sure, sure, sure.
I hate everything. I didn't say emo.
In movies, I'll say Ellen Ripley.
Because,
yep.
Because she's, I mean, really... That's what I'm just. I mean, really.
Yeah. Get away from my daughter.
Yeah.
And then,
and then TV. I didn't get this far in my thinking, so I'll just say Roseanne Conner from.
Just Roseanne.
No, nobody thinks that one was funny. That's
I liked it.
Okay.
Good job. She has a farm now.
Banna, give us some ladies.
She's nuts.
Give us your lady list.
I guess, like...
Your lady list.
My favorite would have to be the current TV portrayal of Catwoman. Just because Anne Hathaway is my girl. She is, like, natural beauty.
I love Anne Hathaway.
Like, personified. But then she's also, like... She's got a touch of bad girl, like touch of dirty girl. And I'm like, what's up? Because I like
Catwoman.
I like a dash of that. Like, I can't help myself.
And for the record, those goggles that flip back to make cat ears. Incredibly clever.
Yeah. I just like that she's running around in, you know, latex the whole time or whatever that's supposed to be.
And heels.
And I'm like, oh, what's up, girl? Let's go save the city. Like,
it's really just being a strong woman. Just, you know.
I like all that, yeah. Now, I will say this. I dated someone much more in that realm. It's not as cool as you think.
Now, yeah, kind of always wondering if you're going to catch
like, it was
you
good.
Know?
It was really good for a while, but then it's just like, it's too domineering. It's too much. You're like, pump the brakes. Let's chill out. There's no off switch.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Was that the same girl in the story you told last week with the,
no.
the fishing?
No, no. That was not the girl that we thought we were going to get abducted at Atbury.
It just sounded like she was very like, no, no, shut up. Quit being a baby.
No. No.
I was going to say something worse than that, but I didn't.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate your friendship. I'm trying to think of any other females.
Could be such a burger sack.
Okay, this is TV. This is TV, but it's not...
Yeah.
Has anything to do with comics. She's much more of a comic book character now. But back in the day, like 2003, stopped the clock right there, Lindsay Lohan. She was my one and only.
What?
And then she fell off the mountain. She fell off the mountain.
She fell off the mountain, went through the earth, and then
yeah,
back
I know,
again.
And that's why I said she's much more of a
China
comic book character now.
Like, she is a very much a comic book
like,
character.
You know,
now.
Back then, like she's very much Swamp
Thing.
So,
Herbie Fully Loaded was just your.
Oh damn! No, Herbie Fully Loaded, like you could already see the signs. Mean Girls is where it stops.
Okay. Yep.
I was just like, what's up?
So, Parent Trap. I mean, you're really good with that.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger,
when
yeah,
she was a child,
I grew up with it, and I was like, "Hey, what's up, Ginger Snaps?" Like,
okay, I'll take it. I'll accept it. Old Ginger Snaps swoops over here. No,
that's a brave comment, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, like, at that time, look, because like everyone forgets the glory days. Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone forgets Mean Girls. Just you're like, wow, what is that? That's fantastic. And then she's just like. I'm
what
not,
up,
Cody?
Well, now,
girls thinking, wow, that's fantastic.
You'll come around.
So, Justin,
fair enough.
You want to
okay,
give us a...
well, Rogue's already been taken. Back Row's already been taken. Barbara Gordon's already been taken, so...
Yeah.
I'm thinking Storm.
Okay.
Because she was
Storm's
one of the
first... Storm's a good one, too.
Halle Berry.
Very powerful characters. That was female.
Yeah.
And so I think that's always important. Is... She controls nature.
Nobody has said anything about the Phoenix.
No, well, nobody said, well, and also nobody said Wonder Woman. So.
Well,
Phoenix
hang on, I have
is,
it.
Is
shut up, guys.
Okay.
No, Eva, it's your
Storm,
thought.
Storm, pass.
No. I just didn't want them to keep going on their stuff that they were saying. Well, nobody's ever said, because I'm probably going to say something.
Okay.
But you keep going. You keep doing your thing.
Well, yeah, I think it not only was she female, incredibly powerful, and a leader in this organization, but she was also African-American, and at that time...
Absolutely.
Like, so they just... They're like, yeah, we're doing that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that check mark. Yeah, we got that. The character is...
Yeah, the way Storm, like, steps up as the leader of the X-Men, like, Mohawk Days Storm.
Yeah.
Super awesome. And she's just like, fine, Cyclops is gone. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm the leader now.
Well, and X-Men's always been that progressive. Like, I mean, obviously X-Men is...
Yeah.
You know, it's...
The very idea of
exactly.
It's progressive.
Civil rights,
pretty
much. No, that's
yeah.
actually... That's a fantastic pick there. I won't lie to you.
Don't touch.
Okay, well... so I was going to say for my comic book one, I really am a big fan of... I'm really big fan of Jean Grey.
I love you.
In all of her, like, every transition of Jean Grey. Like, Phoenix definitely, obviously, is awesome. But like Jean Grey, original X-Men, super innocent, like, sweetheart. And then, like, right around, like, the Jim Lee time when it's, like, Cyclops versus Wolverine over, like, who's going to get her.
That's when you get
and
the
she's like,
dirty girl.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jean Grey, like, super hot redhead with, like, really awesome powers. But also one of the most, like, respectable female characters in comics. Like, really powerful. Probably the most powerful mutant.
No, period.
Yeah, just,
period.
Like,
yeah.
She's the most powerful mutant.
Professor X had to put mind blocks so that she wouldn't destroy the universe. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, to put her in her mind prison.
Definitely one of my favorite characters in comics. But honestly, probably my all-time favorite female character in comics is Sue Storm.
I'm glad you said it.
Because she... Here's why Sue Storm is awesome. She has a husband who, like...
Can stretch anything.
Is super smart, but, like, sometimes doesn't pay attention to her because of that.
Yeah.
But she's still, like, really loyal to him. Despite Namor's constant, like, hey, girl.
Come bang me.
Hey.
Right.
I got an underwater kingdom. Come on.
Yeah.
Awesome. But she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's, like, a hot mom, too, which I obviously have a thing for hot moms.
Nice.
Since I got this hot lady over here that's a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You whispered that part with me.
My wife is a super hot mom. But anyway,
put your name on
it. Nobody in the room knows how to be like, yeah, we agree. Wait, can we say that?
Yeah.
Right here.
But Sue Storm is like that. Really, like, she's a great mom. She's a great wife. She's super hot, and she's also really powerful. Like, one of the things I always remember, like, Fantastic Four all the way across the board.
Silver Surfer of the movie was.
There's this story by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa when he wrote Fantastic Four, and I was telling you about, like, he wrote that four, that story that was just called Four, and basically the government sues them for all the damage they've done to New York, and they're bankrupt, and they have no money, and they have to move out of the Baxter Building and get actual jobs. And in that story arc, she basically explains that, like, her powers aren't just, like, she can turn invisible, but she can create these invisible force fields. But that doesn't only mean, like, protecting themselves. Like, she can create invisible force fields in people's veins and capillaries and stuff and, like, just make their heart stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really cool power.
You're
and
just, like,
just by looking at them, she can, like, make them die.
Well,
she's that powerful, and she's still, like, this sweet lady and a great mom. And just awesome, like, the whole family dynamic. Fantastic Four is one of my favorite things of it, but she's, like, she's what holds that family together.
She's absolutely the strongest of all of them, and she's one of the ones that's more subversive and doesn't, like, just go out, because
she
can kill all of them.
She has the ability to.
Exactly. Yeah, I hate how she was portrayed kind of in, like, old 60s comics as, like, kind of the same way that, like, Janet Van Dyne was, which is very, like, oh, I have to go shopping. This guy's really dreamy. And it's one of the things that you can prove, like, as time goes on and as things get more progressive, you know, you have these strong characters like that. So, by the way, Tiffany's new nickname for the podcast right now is Old Jalapeno Popcorn Swopes.
I'll take
the popcorn. All right, guys. Anybody have any last minute things to say before we shut her down here?
Yes, I wish I would stop getting nicknames.
Oh, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Justin, thanks for guesting
with
us. How did your first experience feel? Pretty good?
Yeah, felt really good.
Awesome. Good. Hopefully you'll be coming back for more.
Absolutely. Whenever.
Awesome.
So, like always, if you like any of the books that we've talked about today, or you know, want to learn more about them, you can go to the new CBU, New Comic Book University. They are moving this weekend, so you'll be able to go to the new store. Also, follow the podcast on Twitter at Nerd Management. You can follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at the Alec Ward.
I'm at Warner Swopes.
At Queen Swopes.
Other people here have
no,
Twitters.
Absolutely.
No,
Twitter? No, I don't have
that. Okay.
At Jay Sainless.
And no Twitter for Chris Banna.
Can we please make you one, please?
No, I know I mentioned this, and I was actually listening to the podcast. I'm like, oh, I forgot to do that. I'm making a fake Chris Banna.
I think it's going to be at Burger Sack. Like, I
really yes.
Always walk to Burger King Sack.
All right, guys, so also check out the new blog by Michael and Abnett.
Absolutely.
So Nerdy It Hurts. It's really good.
Ooh,
it's really good, and it's going to be featured on our website when we get that
eventually,
all up and rolling.
Just enunciate so nerdy it hurts, not so dirty it hurts.
So dirty it hurts.
So nerdy it hurts.
Sure.
Yeah. Go to the right one, because there are other websites.
If you need links, you can always go to our Twitter, because we retweet everything that he does. So.
I sure do.
Also, like us on Facebook, share us on Facebook. We'd really appreciate it. Check out Fanboy Factor.
And don't forget that all of our episodes are on Fanboy Factor, so
absolutely.
Go back and watch listen to the Halloween special, because it's awesome.
It's
fun.
It's probably my
We had a good time. And
if you're not watching Arrow, you should watch it.
And Boner Police, check the completed box.
Goodbye, everybody. Okay, so
and most people take breaks around Christmas time.
You guys could not have been more misogynistic tonight on our movie.
I try not